care for that?
But yeah, note it, man. Make sure you note it. And make sure you note the fix of the stone. No, I'm going to start with that one. If I don't remember, tell me.
Hey.
I'd like to call to order the Carson Area Metropolitan Organization. It's Wednesday, April 13th, 2016. We are at the Community Center, Sierra Room, 851 East William Street, Carson City, Nevada. Agenda, note, the Carson Area Metropolitan Planning Organization, CAMPO, is pleased to make reasonable accommodations for members of the public who are disabled and wish to attend the meeting. If special arrangements for the meeting are necessary, please notify CAMPO staff in writing at 3505 Buddeye Way, Carson City, Nevada, 89701, or comments at carsonareampo.com, or call Patrick Pittinger at 775-887-2355. As soon as possible, requests are required prior to 12 p.m. on April 11th, 2016 for this meeting. For more information or for copies of the supporting material regarding any of the items listed on the agenda, please contact Patrick Pittinger, Transportation Manager, at 775-887-2355. Additionally, the agenda with all supporting materials posted on the CAMPO website at www.carson.org/agendas, or is available upon request at 3505 Buddeye Way, Carson City, Nevada, 89701. Item number one is roll call and determination of a quorum.
Chairperson Fierro.
Here.
Vice Chairperson Erb.
Here.
Member Bonkowski.
Here.
Member Cole.
Here.
Member Kimbrough.
Here.
Member Smolenski.
Here.
Member Zantino.
Here.
Ex officio Member Rosenberg.
Here.
Quorum is present.
All right. Thank you. Item number two is public comment. Members of the public who wish to address the CAMPO board may approach the podium and speak on any matter relevant to or within the authority of CAMPO. Comments are limited to 3 minutes per person per topic. If your item requires extended discussion, please request the chair to calendar the matter for a future CAMPO meeting. No action may be taken upon a matter raised under this item of the agenda until the matter itself has been specifically included on an agenda as an item upon which action may be taken. Yes, ma'am.
Good afternoon. My name is Sue Merriweather. I'm the clerk recorder here in Carson City. Part of my job is to present to the public, look for people interested in writing and preparing the arguments supporting and opposing ballot questions that will be put on the ballot. I'm here today to present to you because you will be discussing the indexing and motor vehicle fuel bill ballot question that will be on the ballot, and the Board of Supervisors will be voting on that at their next hearing. What I wanted to do today was let you know that we have not yet received anyone interested in writing the arguments supporting or opposing the ballot question, and that I had brought some interest forms here with me today, and I thought maybe because your board has interest in this, that maybe you might know some interested parties that would like to help participate in writing these arguments. And And so that way I brought the forms and wanted to make it public that I was still looking for someone. They have till Friday, April 14th, to turn the interest forms into us.
All right. Thank you very much. You can hand them off to Patrick.
Okay. And, thank you.
All right. Thanks. Is there anybody else from the public that would like to speak under public comment? All right. Seeing none, we'll move on to item number three, which is approval of minutes. No action required. So why is that under a no action? So, but I bring it up because somebody said that somebody wanted to discuss it. Right. So go ahead.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. For the record, Dan Yu with the Carson City DA's office. I just wanted to note for the record that pursuant to the most recent amendments to Chapter 241, which codifies the open meeting law here in Nevada, you know, open bodies are required to adopt minutes of a meeting within 45 days after the occurrence of that meeting or at the next meeting unless good cause is shown. Due to, you know, just current staffing levels right now and just the overwhelming amount of work that staff is dealing with, you know, despite, you know, the best efforts of staff, those minutes have not yet been completed at this time. So I believe that good cause is showing. And so, therefore, it should be available based on my understanding that, you know, it'll be available for this body to adopt at the next meeting. So I just wanted to note that for the record.
Okay, thank you for noting that. Item number four are our public meeting items. 4A for possible action, to authorize the transportation manager to sign agreement number NM111-16-804 for general provisions regarding the expenditure of planning funds and Federal Transit Administration, FTA, 5303 funds, also known as Consolidated Planning Grant funds, and to authorize the transportation manager to sign future amendments to this agreement regarding time extensions. Staff summary, the existing cooperative agreement for the general provisions for the expenditure of PL funds and 5303 funds, commonly referred to as the planning agreement, is set to expire on September 30th, 2016. The proposed agreement would replace the existing agreement effective October 1st, 2016.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I'll take this one here. Dan Dengis, Senior Transportation Planner. And as you did note, this proposed agreement would take effect on October 1st, 2016. This is a four-year agreement, so it would go through the period of September 30th of 2020. And as it mentioned in the staff report, this does address the expenditure of PL and 5303 funds. However, this also kind of outlines general requirements for that are expected of MPOs regarding like the long-range transportation plan, the transportation improvement program, kind of sets forth billing policy and procedures for funds being made available through the Unified Planning Work Program. And it's pretty standard. They do a four-year agreement because really not a whole lot changes in that span of time as far as those requirements. And if necessary, would be amended. But otherwise, this will be good for 4 years. So happy to entertain any questions. Thank you.
All right. Are there any questions for staff? Go ahead.
This is more just a comment, just to add on to what Dan said. The reason we do a four-year agreement is we outline, as he said, all the roles and responsibilities, and that makes the annual agreement with the actual dollar amounts much, much simpler and easier to process. So it's a cooperative, you know, effort through the MPOs and DOT, and Campo, as usual, has been great to work with on that. So thanks.
All right. If there aren't any further questions, would somebody be willing to make a motion?
I move to authorize the transportation manager to sign agreement number NM111-16-804 for general provisions regarding the expenditure of planning funds and Federal Transit Administration 5303 funds, also known as Consolidated Planning Grant funds, and to authorize the transportation manager to sign future amendments to this agreement regarding time extensions.
All right. It's been moved. Is there a second?
Second.
Okay, it's been moved and seconded. Is there anybody from the public that came to address this issue? Seeing none, I'll call for the vote. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion passes. Item number 4B for possible action, to authorize the transportation manager to sign agreement number PR107-16-804 for commitment to complete the fiscal year 2017 Unified Planning Work Program, UPWP, and to authorize the transportation manager to sign future amendments to this agreement regarding time extension or change in the value of funding of up to 20% of the initial funding amount. Staff summary. The proposed agreement commits CAMPO to perform work tasks in the UPWP for the time period of July 1st, 2016 through June 30th, 2017, and to comply with the matching requirements for the expenditure of federal funds. This is Dan again.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. As Member Rosenberg kind of alluded to, this is the annual agreement, which really focuses only on the funding portion of, so it's kind of a supplement to the previous agreement that was just approved. And this one is brought forth every year as our work program is on the fiscal year. There's something a little bit different, and I don't want to get ahead on the next agenda item, but we're actually going to be proposing a two-year unified planning work program this year, but the funding amount in this agreement will just be for that first year. And you might also note that the total funding available is outlined in this agreement, and what we're showing is proposed in our work program in the next agenda item don't match exactly, and really that's okay. This amendment, this agreement is expected to be amended once NDOT gets a clearer picture of what the funding is available for this. Right now, it's based on an estimate, and most of the reason for that is because we run our work program on the fiscal year, which follows the state, but the funding is available. Comes available on the federal fiscal year, which isn't until October 1st. So, therefore, they provide, an estimate on what would be available for the year. And though we are proposing a two-year work program, we would not exceed any funding available for that one-year period within the first year of our work program. Hopefully, that was a clear explanation. But if you have any questions, I'd be happy to elaborate. Thanks.
Are there any questions for staff? All right, so basically so that we can state, the local and state and federal government can all work together, and but the funding's still, so next year we'll still have to have a agenda item for the funding portion of it, right?
Well, this agreement does cover that, but it's expected to be amended, and I'd probably defer to Member Rosenberg if she had a more definitive time frame of when that might occur. So.
Right, so we... we're very excited to have now a five-year transportation bill. Unfortunately, that's an authorization bill, and they still have to do the appropriation. So we don't always know exactly how much money is available. We think we know. We make certain assumptions. And in addition, as Dan mentioned, your work program is on a slightly different fiscal year than ours. So once we have our true numbers for federal fiscal year 17, we'll amend this agreement. Truing up the numbers for fiscal year 17, and then we'll amend again in fiscal year 18 with those true numbers once we get the appropriations for that year, if that makes sense. But the plan, which is the next agenda item, will cover all those planned activities for CAMPO for those years, and the previous agenda item covers the roles and responsibilities. So this very short, simple agreement can be amended and adjusted as those funds get expended and are available. It makes it a simpler item to adjust as those changes occur.
So are all the MPOs kind of going towards this type of two-year out for the planning?
I think CAMPO's the first one, although now the other ones are thinking, hey, that's a pretty good idea. Because as you know, some of the planning activities might take 2 years, some of the studies and things like that might go beyond a specific year. So CAMPO's I think they're the only ones to do it this year. Some of the other ones might be considering it in future years. And actually, we at NDOT have something similar. It's called the SPR, State Planning and Research. That's our federal planning and research dollars. We're evaluating maybe doing that on a two-year time frame as well, just because there's so many ongoing activities, it's kind of simpler to do it that way.
Is there any other questions or comments? All right, can I get a motion, please?
I move to authorize the transportation manager to sign agreement PR107-16-804 for commitment to complete the fiscal year 2017 United Planning Work Program and to authorize the transportation manager to sign future amendments to this agreement regarding time extensions, or a change in the value of funding up to 20% of the initial funding amount.
All right, is there a second?
Second.
Okay, it's been moved and seconded. Is there anybody from the public that came to address this issue? Seeing none, I'll call for the vote. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion passes. All right, we will move on to item number 4C, which is information only. Draft Fiscal Year 2017-2018 Unified Planning Work Program, the UPWP. Staff summary. Staff has developed a draft UPWP for fiscal years 2017 and 2018, which is July 1st, 2016 through June 30th, 2018. The UPWP establishes the budget for proposed CAMPO activities and describes how federal consolidated planning grants, CBG, funds will be administered during the fiscal year. And Dan, are you up again? Oh, now it's over here. Okay.
I'm going to at least start this one, and when I'm done, I'm sure Dan and Dirk will say anything important that I missed. My thunder's been stolen. This is a two-year work program. I'll just add to Member Rosenberg's comments. It was MDOT staff that actually shared with us the opportunity and our ability to go to a two-year program, and they encouraged that. I don't think they expected us to take them up on the offer so quickly, but we told them not only is that a good idea, why wait? Because frankly, doing it this way gives us a lot more flexibility. So when we have one of these projects, we can, you know, if something shifts from one fiscal year to another, that's within our ability to do so. If it straddles the fiscal years, it doesn't impact us. Previously, if you had a study that say that was getting done in June of next year, you'd have to be going, oh boy, am I going to be done in June? Is it going to be going over to July? With this, it won't matter for next year if we have a schedule that goes over the fiscal year. So we're really happy to do that. As was previously mentioned by Dan, we are still beholden to the amount of money that is available on an annual basis. We can't go spend all the money in the first year and then just take a year off. Just make sure it's clear that's not our intent. That we're not able to do that, so we do have to manage it between years, but we're confident in our ability to do so, working with NDOT to do so. A few things I want to point out as the highlights, or in one case, the low light. Member Bonkowski pointed out that Member Kroll's name is spelled incorrectly, and we apologize for that, and it will be... Everybody spells Pittenger correctly as well. And I'm sure they'll continue to do so. We will fix that. That was the only low light, I believe. I want to mention, the real highlight is this is on the last page of the whole thing. List the projects, the budget. Some of the highlights I want to point out is the compliance with MAP 21 and FAST. As was previously mentioned, we now have a five-year transportation bill. The previous one was only 2 years. And frankly, they haven't even finished implementing the previous bill before they pass the next one. So we're still trying to get into compliance with the rules that rolled out 2 years ago, and luckily they recognize that in the new bill as well. But there are changes that are coming to us as far as performance-based planning and the like. We do have money for a travel-demand model in there as well. That's a key function of the MPO, and we're looking forward to working with that, not only with our own model, but coordinating with others as well. We're looking forward to working with MDOT on their modeling effort in the region, including the TRIC, the development out in Story County, and how that affects the multi-county area, and as well as other studies they're working on, including, very importantly, the commuting study for that'll include the TRIC in there in a multi-county area. And very importantly, an update of the state long-range transportation plan. NDOT has already started working with us on that. They're about to proceed, and they'll be working with all the MPOs on that. Couple more things. There is an item in here for South Carson Street Complete Street Study. The portion of South Carson Street being referred to is from Fifth Street down to Snyder and Carson City. There are big changes coming to that corridor with the completion of the freeway and the previously agreed to transition of South Carson Street from Fairview South to Carson City. And we'll be looking at the future of that road. And one other thing that's new and different, also as part of performance-based planning, is the acquisition of counters that can be used to count pedestrians and bicycles. And I just want to point out that that's an example of something that, you know, that it's open to any county in the region. If Lyon, Douglas, or Carson, any of them want to use these counters, they'll be available for use by whoever's interested in using them. To find out how many pedestrians and bicyclists you have. And then last but not least, the bottom line, this is substantially federally funded, 95%, as it is usually every year. There is a cost there. We did put a couple asterisks on it. The total local cost for this is $38,000, but that is over the two-year period. So I think it's $90,000 per year divided among the three counties to be billed on an annual basis, and in my terms, that's still a really good deal. This is informational only. We're in a public comment period. We've already gone through the Federal Highway Administration, the Federal Transit Administration, gotten their comments, and we've shared with all the member counties. Now we're in a public comment period, and there is a public meeting next week on the 19th from 4 to 6 p.m. in the Bonanza Room here at the Community Center, and we at Campo staff are available to answer any questions. And if you guys think of anything I missed, thank you very much.
Thank you. So did anybody have any questions for Patrick or staff? Go ahead.
I don't have a good understanding. Does Campo have a budget, or does all of these projects are all across the board in different counties and stuff? So how is the pie split up, and how does Campo have a budget to pay their share and that kind of thing?
So the basics on how it works is that the primary funding source are these federal funds, the planning funds that we get, the consolidated planning grant that were subject to the previous two agreements. Those funds are available to the Campo area, which includes Carson City and portions of Lyon and Douglas counties. Using that with a 5% local match, we develop a work program, which basically is the budget for Campo. And those funds are used both for reimbursement of staff time, but also to acquire the use of consultant services. You know, for example, our travel demand modeling, we don't do that in-house. We acquire the use of a specialized consulting firm to do that. This basically is our budget. Because we are housed within the city, there is a separate financial accounting budget in the city budgeting system to make sure that it's separate from everything else, but it basically reflects what you're looking at.
So there's no one. So each county has a line item somewhere for Campo that's the participant line and
pay their fair share. Yes, that is correct. So, for example, in the case of Carson City, the Carson City RTC pays the Carson City portion of the local cost here. So, as is estimated here, over a two-year period, the Carson City RTC will make two payments totaling $25,194, and in the case of Douglas and Lyon, will be approximately half each year for their total year as well.
All right. Any other questions? All right. So that was an information only item. We'll move on to item number 5, internal communications and administrative matters. These are non-action items. Future agenda items, discussion overview of matters which may be included on future agendas.
Three items for the next meeting or two. Hopefully the final version of this Unified Planning Work Program will be before you. We're going to be looking to finish the regional transportation plan, which has been presented to you previously, that we're charging forward on to complete. And then additionally, we've determined the need to make an amendment to our transportation improvement program, the TIP, to reflect the funds that will be expended, the FLAP funds, the Federal Lands Access Program funds for Sierra Vista Lane. As there are federal funds involved in that, we need to make sure we get that in the transportation improvement program as well.
Thank you, Patrick. We'll move down to item number 6, which is board comments, and I'll start on my right.
So. I don't want to steal anyone's thunder. Are you going to make an announcement, Patrick, or should I?
I'm going to make it. Is it, okay. Is it about a certain staff member?
It is.
Well, then, yes, I'm going to get to do that.
Okay.
Can I do it now, or should I wait?
I was going to add on to it, so.
All right. Well, if you don't mind, Mr. Chairman.
Is that?
Okay. Thank you. Yes. Yeah, don't steal my thunder on this one. Everything else is fine. I have good news for someone and bad news for the rest of us. Dan Dengis, who has been with us since November of 2007, over 8 years, and who has been a wonderful employee for that entire time, except for, you know, here and there. But other than that, he's been a wonderful, wonderful person to work with. He's going to be leaving us in next week. And he's joining the Washoe RTC, who he's worked with for years, and they know how talented and useful he is. And they, you know, made him an offer he couldn't refuse, and we wish him the best. And of course, we're going to be missing him. I wanted to make sure I said at this meeting where the most people were sitting here. With that, I'd be happy to let you chime in.
Okay. I just want to thank you, Dan, for your great participation. Working with Dan has been really a pleasure from the NDOT perspective. I know we still get to work with him for where he's going, but I think it's a great loss to Campo, great benefit to Washoe. But I just want to say NDOT as a whole has really appreciated working with you as a Campo staff member. So thank you. Other than that, Patrick mentioned a couple of things that we're working on. We're right now in negotiations with a consultant for our long-range transportation plan, which is going to be different than anyone we've done in the past. It's going to be unified both in the sense of incorporating the MPO regional transportation plans as well as all our modal plans, our asset management plan. Really, the goal is to have one transportation plan for the state that we all buy into and we all support, and that's the document we go to. So it's a bit of a heavy lift, but we're very excited about launching into that. As part of our negotiations, we're discussing including an upgrade to our state transportation model and some additional extra emphasis on areas like the TRIC area, as well as potentially some additional emphasis on the I-11 corridor as well. So we're very excited to on those planning efforts, and as soon as we can get fully staffed up, we'll hit that on all cylinders, and it's an exciting time. That's it.
Just some feedback on Dan. I hope you're still going to come up and run the bike meetings up here in Carson City as part of your new duties. Dan has been a huge champion and coordinator for the bike community by a long shot, and it's always highly respected by that group for all the work that he has done. So you'll be highly missed, but you will be invited to participate still. So hopefully, are you still maintaining your residency in the capital?
I actually do live in Reno.
Oh, I didn't know that. All right, well, you caught me on that one.
Yeah, I'm going to have a talk with Plemmel over there about stealing folks.
it wasn't Plemmel. It was Washoe RTC. Oh, I'm sorry. Yeah, Lee Gibson, absolutely.
Lee Gibson, I mean.
Yes,
Lee Gibson.
Yeah, I already talked to him, too, this week. Trust
me. All right, Lee Gibson. Sorry, wrong name. I got it. Yes. You know, it's good. Lee Gibson, okay.
He steals ours, too. We're going to have to, we'll buddy up on that.
All right, well, thank you for all your years of service here. So you'll definitely be missed.
Thank you. It's a mutual feeling, and I really do appreciate having the opportunity to work with this great city staff, but also just great board over the years. It's been, I think it's an example of how things should be run, and I know a lot of boards sometimes have a little dysfunction, but this is I've never seen that in my 8 years here. So it's been a really made my job much easier.
Nice. All right. We're down to item number 7, which is public comment again. So it's your next chance if you want to come up in front of the board. Seeing none, that will take us to item number 8, which is adjournment for possible action. Do I have a motion to adjourn?
So moved.
All right. We are adjourned, and the meeting will RTC meeting will start in 10 minutes.
Not really bad.
that's okay.
Yeah, I was a lot more comfortable.
I'd like to call to order the meeting of the Regional Transportation Commission. We are here in the community center in Carson City at 851 East Williams Street, the Sierra Room. And we have a couple of people who have additional meetings that they have to go to, so I'm going to run the meeting fairly quickly. I'm not going to shortchange anybody, so if anybody needs additional time, please let me know. And so if we can move to a roll call and determination of quorum, please.
Chairperson Bonkowski.
Here.
Vice Chairperson Smolenski.
Here.
Commissioner Kroll.
Here.
Commissioner Kimbrough.
Here.
Commissioner Zentino.
Here.
Quorum is present.
Thank you, Kathy. So moving on to item number two, public comment. Any members of the public who wish to address the Regional Transportation Commission may approach the podium and speak on any matter relevant to or within the authority of the RTC. Comments are limited to 3 minutes per person per topic. If your item requires extended discussion, please request the chair to calendar the matter for a future RTC meeting. No action may be taken upon any matter raised under this item of the agenda until the matter itself has been specifically included on an agenda as an item on which action may be taken. If you're here to speak tonight on an item that is currently on the agenda, then I'd ask that you hold your comment until that item. So are there any members of the public that would like to speak under public comment at this time? Seeing none, we'll move on to item three, approval of the minutes. Have all the members of the commission had a chance to look at the minutes?
Move approval.
I have a motion to approve the minutes. Do I have a second?
Second.
All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, say nay. It passes unanimously. Okay, on the agenda, I'd like to move items 4C and 4D in front of items 4A and 4B. If there are no objections. Seeing no objections, then we will move to item 4C. For possible action to approve a federal lands access program project memorandum of agreement that documents the responsibilities for the development, construction, and future maintenance of Sierra Vista Lane. Who's going to take this? Dirk?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. So back in January, the RTC was informed that Carson City was approved for a FLAP grant, which is your Federal Lands Access Program. At that time, they said that the construction was going to be scheduled for 2019. And at the direction of the RTC, they asked us to send a letter asking if it was possible to move up that construction date. And we sent out a letter, and we got a positive response, and they were able to move it up to the summer of 2017. So that's good news. So in part with that, we have two agreements. 4C is the first agreement that I'm going to talk about, and this is a memorandum of agreement. And this agreement spells out the responsibilities for all the agencies that are participating. There's three agencies, the Central Federal Lands, BLM, and then Carson City. For Carson City, our responsibilities include obtaining local permits, project coordination, public outreach, securing right-of-way, and to ensure the long-term maintenance of Sierra Vista Lane. Central Federal Lands, they will be delivering the project, and that will include the NEPA documentation, surveying work, design, and all the way up through construction. So the memorandum of agreement also outlines the schedule. So the first part of the schedule is NEPA documentation process, surveying work, and 30% design work, and that's going to start late spring, early summer. And then the final part of the schedule is final design, which is scheduled for early spring 2017. And then construction is anticipated for late spring of 2017 and with a completion date of late October or early fall of 2017. So that's the memorandum of agreement. This agreement does not discuss the cost of the reimbursement. That's with the next item. So I'm happy to answer any questions, and that's all I have.
Are there any questions from any of the commissioners on the memorandum of agreement? I see none. So at this time, I will ask for public comment on this item. If anybody would like to speak to this item from the public, please come forward to the podium and state your name for the record, please.
Hello, my name is Donna Gray. I have a question about one of the responsibilities by Carson City. It's under Section C. It says, an approximately 0.36-mile section of Sierra Vista Lane is located at Bureau of Indian Affairs allotment. However, Carson City is in the process to secure the appropriate access and maintenance responsibilities. My question is, where are we with that? Could that be a possible obstacle to actually getting this grant if we don't get it?
Dirk?
Thank you. And it could be an obstacle. We are on top of it. We have met with BIA, and we have actually sent out a letter to the folks of that allotment, kind of trying to get consent to move forward with the right-of-way process with BIA. And so right now that's kind of the first test of the water to see what to expect. And so hopefully in 2 to 3 weeks we'll get enough response. We do need a response of 10%. And once you get that 10%, then we can kind of move forward, work with BIA, and get that right away confirmed and secured.
Response of 10% of what?
10% of the folks that we mailed, that we sent a consent letter to the BIA, to the allotment owners of the parcel of land that's along Sierra Vista Lane. And so the BIA requires that as long as you get a 10% response rate, and we sent out 12, so as long as you get that 10%, then things are good.
So you sent out 12 letters, so you got to receive 10% of the 12 letters, or 1.2?
Yeah.
Or two.
Yeah, it'd be rounded to two.
So two have to agree, and it doesn't matter whether the other.
Yeah.
In the case that they don't agree for some reason, I mean, is there a payment to them, or how does that work?
That's the question that we still need to work out with BIA is what are they looking for, and in that letter that we sent out, there is our. Kind of information about the improvements that we're making and what we plan on, our intent to make sure that their land will have the proper means to be secured so that you don't have folks trespassing on their land. So until we get those letters back, we really don't know what's next with BIA. We have to get those letters back and then start talking to the BIA. And there are ways which we are hoping for that don't include any cost to obtain the right of way.
What's your experience with BIA? I mean, is it usually pretty positive?
Yeah, they seemed positive, and they were they thought it was a good project, and they were happy to work with us.
I mean, in general, in other cases.
In general, I personally don't have too much experience with BIA.
I can tell you that, I mean, you work with different portions of BIA, whether it's the BIA DOT or BIA more local, and generally speaking, they've been good to work with, but frankly, we haven't done anything like this exactly. So,
okay.
So can the project move forward if you don't get the right-of-way? Can the rest of the project move forward, or would this hold up the entire project?
It has the potential to hold it up, but I don't, but we're very positive, and we really just sent out the letters, like, within the last 2 days. So I think we should know more, as Eric indicated, in a very short period of time.
I'm sorry, I missed it. Did you say when they have to respond by?
There's no deadline. And so my discussions with BIA staff, I asked them how long should we keep it open, and they said, usually it's 2 weeks, but there's no harm in keeping it open 3 weeks. So it just depends on what kind of response we're getting. We did the 12 letters, certified mail, so... time will tell.
Okay. Thank you.
Is there any additional public comment on this item? Seeing none, I will bring it back to the commission for a motion.
I move to approve the proposed Federal Lands Access Program FLAP project memorandum of agreement for the reconstruction of a 2.5-mile portion of Sierra Vista Line.
Do we have a second?
Second.
Is there any discussion? Seeing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed say nay. It passes unanimously. Moving on to item 4D, to approve a Federal Lands Access Program FLAP project reimbursement agreement to reimburse Central Federal Lands Highway Division for 5% of the cost to reconstruct a 2.5-mile portion of Sierra Vista Lane, including improvements to three parking areas and wayfinding signs. The FLAP grant will provide 95% of the funds to reconstruct Sierra Vista Lane. You're doing this as well, Dirk.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. So the reimbursement agreement cites the memorandum of agreement. So all the information in that agreement is contained within this reimbursement agreement. To note the cost, the total project is going to be approximately $4.7 million, and the Central Federal Lands will provide a grant for 95% of that, and then the local share is 5%, and so our cost is $239,000 approximately. And other than that, the reimbursement agreement just outlines how to repay federal Central Lands for the project. I'm happy to answer any questions.
Do any of the commissioners have questions on this item? I see none, so I'll open this item up for public comment. Are there any members of the public that would like to comment on this item? Seeing none, I'll bring it back to the commission for a motion.
I move to authorize the transportation manager to sign agreement number NM123-16-201 for the installation and maintenance. Oh, geez, Mark. I'm giving some lighting over an empire. I think I screwed that up here. Let's try this to approve. I make a motion to approve Federal Lands Access Program FLAP project No, let's keep going, Mark. You're going to get it right yet. I move to approve Federal Lands Access Program Project Reimbursement Agreement to reimburse Central Federal Lands Highway Division for 5% of the cost to reconstruct 2.5-mile portion of Sierra Vista Lane, including improvements to three parking areas and wayfinding signs. The FLAP grant will provide 95% of the funds to reconstruct Sierra Vista Lane. Thank you.
We have a motion, sort of. Do we have a second?
I'll second that motion. That's a good motion. That's all right.
Is there any discussion on this item? Seeing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed say nay. It passes unanimously. Thank you. Okay. All right. You're excused. We are now moving to item 4A for possible action to determine that VNC Construction, Inc. is the lowest responsive and responsible bidder pursuant to NRS Chapter 338 and to award contract number 1516-095, Empire Elementary School Area ADA Pedestrian Improvement Project for a bid amount of $180,717.50 plus a 10% contingency amount of $18,072 for a total not to exceed price of $198,789.50 to be funded from the sidewalk improvement CDBG/FTA account.
I'll take this one. Yes, we're pleased to bring forth this is actually the last of the available Housing and Urban Development Community Development Block Grant funding that is available to us. This project's been, it was awarded, the funding was awarded about a year ago, and we're happy to move forward. These are more ADA pedestrian improvements near the Empire Elementary School area. A lot of it will be on Monte Rosa, that's the name of the street. As you can see, we got multiple bids that did vary, but we're happy with the one we got, and I will, as the low bid, and I just want to make sure to point out that this is primarily funded through the Community Development Block Grant funds. We will be supplementing with Federal Transit Administration capital funds as well, and the result will be a 100% federal project.
Are there any questions from the commissioners? I see none, so I will open this item up for public comment. Is there any member of the public that would like to comment on this item? I see no public comment, so I will bring it back to the commission for a motion.
I move to determine that VNC Construction, Inc. is the lowest responsive and responsible bidder pursuant to NRS Chapter 338 and to award contract number 1516-095, Empire Elementary School Area ADA Pedestrian Improvement Project for a bid amount of $180,717.50 plus a 10% contingency amount of $18,072 for a total not to exceed price of $198,789.50 to be funded from the Sidewalk Improvement CDBG/FTA account.
We have a motion. Do we have a second?
Second.
We have a second. Is there any discussion? Seeing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed say nay. Passes unanimously. We are now on item 4B for possible action to authorize the transportation manager to sign agreement number NM123-16-201 for the installation and maintenance of lighting near the intersection of U.S. Highway 50 and Empire Ranch Road. Mr. Transportation Manager.
That is me. This project was actually brought forth after city staff, including me personally, have received multiple concerns from our resident about the safety of this intersection and the condition of Empire Ranch Road approaching. City staff has already made improvements to the pavement on the Empire Ranch approach to Highway 50 at this point. However, the lighting that was requested by a couple of citizens, including through the Carson City Connect system, which I'd like to note, the lighting would be, as requested, would be within Nevada Department of Transportation right-of-way. So we worked with Nevada Department of Transportation District 2 about these concerns regarding this intersection, and they have agreed, as is contained in this agreement, to design and install lighting at the intersection. that design is not complete, so I can't tell you exactly what it's going to look like. But in our opinion, whatever they put out there will be a significant improvement. And the city responsibility is primarily going to be to power and do maintenance on these. However, as is indicated under in our Article 1, it notes that that we are to invoice the Department of Transportation for anything in excess of $1,000. We believe this is a good example of a partnership with NDOT. We're happy that they have agreed to proceed with this, and we believe that the cost of the power going forward is well worth the safety there.
And just to explain the design at this intersection, this is on Highway 50 where the post office is. So the way the intersection is designed, the traffic, the eastbound traffic that wants to pull into the post office pulls into the same center turn lane that the westbound traffic coming from Empire Ranch pulls into. So the way it's designed, you have opposing traffic coming into the same turn lane in the same area. So that's why the light, that's why there's been complaints, and it's a very dangerous intersection. So are there any questions from any of the commissioners on this item?
I have one.
Yes.
So in talking to light, are you talking traffic signal is going to be
I'm
there,
sorry,
or just illuminating the intersection?
Just illuminating. My apologies for lack of clarity. This is just illumination of. This is not a traffic signal.
Is there any member of the public that would like to speak to this item? Seeing none, I will bring this back to the commission for a motion.
I move to authorize the transportation manager to sign agreement number NM123-16-201 for the installation and maintenance of lighting near the intersection of U.S. Highway 50 and Empire Ranch Road.
Do we have a motion? Do we have a second?
Second.
We have a motion and a second. Is there any discussion? Seeing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed say nay. Passes unanimously. We are now on to item 4E. For possible action to determine that Creative Bus Sales, ARBOC, is the lowest responsive and responsible bidder pursuant to NRS Chapter 332 and to authorize Public Works to purchase two fixed route buses for a bid amount of $313,235 each, with the option to purchase additional buses in future years to be funded from the Transit Fund Machinery and Equipment Vehicle Purchase Account as provided in fiscal year 2016-2017 budget.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I'll take this. With the purchase of five buses with federal stimulus money funds several years ago, the JAC Transit System was able to significantly upgrade its fixed route bus fleet in order to provide additional capacity for its passengers. These same vehicles are now coming to the end of their useful lives as defined by the Federal Transit Administration. In response, Carson City accepted bids for a multi-year contract for the provision of rear-engine fixed-route buses in order to replace these aging vehicles. Without stimulus funds this time around, the portion of the fleet that will be retired must be replaced over multiple years. Funding currently allows for two vehicles, which is the minimum amount that must be purchased as stipulated in this contract, to be replaced in the first contract year with up to four others eligible for replacement in any of the following three option years. I'll also note that the option years allow for anywhere from zero to four buses to be purchased, but we will not actually be buying 12 buses over the course of these three option years. But the option is there to replace the other four buses all at once or to have them metered out as funding allows. For example, we could buy zero in the first, zero in the second, four in the third, or we could buy one, one, and one, or just any combination of numbers between zero and four each year. So there were three bids received, which were open last month, all within the range of the budgeted amount. And as a condition of award, Carson City stipulated that a demo vehicle must be provided so that staff could test this new style of bus on local roads. In the end, the low bidder, Creative Bus Sales, on behalf of Arbok Specialty Vehicles, was able to provide a bus that could meet the city's needs, and staff is recommending award to Arbok. I'll also note that the Jack Paratransit fleet actually has 5 Arbok vehicles already. Fleet and operations staff has been pleased with their performance, and we're happy to have them provide fixed route vehicles as well. With that, I'll entertain any questions.
And if I may, and I don't know if you mentioned.
I'm sorry. I also provided the additional visual aid there before the meeting. That is the Sila bus that we will be buying.
Do any of the commissioners have questions?
Did they send the test vehicle?
That is the test vehicle you're holding right there.
And has it made its rounds yet to see if it has any issues
yes.
on cornering and things of this?
Yep. Yes, it has. And we felt that it met all the needs. They were able to address all the little issues that we had and to correct anything that any concerns we had. So we do feel confident in awarding to this bus here.
Another thing, you know, and I've seen some of these buses, does this, when it comes to a stop, does it lower in the front so that it there's not such as a step?
They are low-floor vehicles, yes, and they do have the kneeling capability as well, so they can become even lower.
Do we have any additional questions? All right. Graham, I have a couple of questions. You mentioned in your staff report that in the first year of the contract that the minimum amount for us to purchase is 2, that we have to buy 2 in order to fulfill the contract.
Correct.
But then in subsequent years, it can be 0 to 4. Is there a benefit to us, cost-wise or otherwise, to purchase a minimum of 2 in subsequent years? So is there an advantage to ordering, say, 2 in year 2 rather than 1 in year 1 and 1 in year 2, other than just our ability to actually acquisition the funds?
Yes, there could be. The option years, the price of those years will be negotiated at that time. So it could benefit us to buy them sooner rather than later, just depending on.
And in a higher quantity?
Correct, yes.
Okay. So I guess you guys have your work cut out for you. Got to go find us some grant funding to buy some more buses.
That's right.
If there's no more questions from the commissioners, I'll open this item up to the public for comment. Are there any members of the public that would like to comment on this item? Seeing none, I will bring this back to the commission for a motion.
This one, too. Let's grab the right one here. I move to determine that Creative Bus Sales, Arbok, is the lowest responsive and responsible bidder, contract file 1516-099, pursuant to NRS Chapter 332, and to authorize Public Works to purchase fixed route buses for a bid amount of $313,235 each, with the option to purchase additional buses in future years to be funded from the Transit Fund Machinery and Equipment Vehicle Purchase Account as provided in fiscal year 2016-17 budget.
We have a motion. Do we have a second?
Second.
We have a motion and a second. Is there any discussion? Seeing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed say nay. Passes unanimously. We are now on item 4F for information only. Who's going to take this item?
That's me,
Graham.
Mr. Chair. Thank you. November this year, polls will be open for United States presidential election. The jump around Carson Transit System has always been involved in the community, providing support and participating in events, and will be continuing that support when it provides free rides on Election Day. Free transportation will aid in encouraging citizens to cast their ballot and will serve the dual purpose of allowing them the opportunity to get out and give transit a try as well. This free service will be offered on each of Jack's 4 fixed routes and during all hours of operation on November 8th, 2016.
Is there any questions?
Mark? Just a comment or a question, actually. Can you put political statements on the buses, like vote for Trump or whoever?
No, that's okay. Actually against our advertising.
So policy. That would help if that bus showed up with that campaign on the, okay, I didn't think so, but I was just curious.
Any additional questions?
May I ask a question?
Sure. Jack?
I just wanted to know if it's publicized, and does everybody know that this is free on Election Day?
We will be doing a press release, when it comes closer to the time and posting on our website and things like that. So,
if there are no additional questions from the commissioners, I'll open this up for public comment. Any member of the public that would like to comment on this item? Seeing none, this was information only, so we'll move on to item 4G, also for information only. Information on proposed ballot language regarding the November 2016 Carson City Fuel Revenue Indexing Ballot Question. Who's going to, the transportation manager is going to take this one too. I like yes. The transportation manager.
Yes, something about drawing straws. No, what we have before us, in the bigger picture, not just what's in front of us, is that, as has been discussed previously, before this body, there will be a vote in November in the general election. There will be a ballot issue regarding the what's called fuel revenue indexing. It's the indexing of the existing taxes on motor fuels in Carson City. It's going to be on the ballot in 16 out of 17 counties of the state, not Washoe County, which has already enacted their indexing per the legislation which pertains to them. So it's going to be on 16 to 17 counties, and it is the duty of each of those counties to prepare language, both a question and explanation, the associated explanation that will appear on the ballot. Now, this is not required to be submitted until, I don't know the exact date, but it's July, first half of July to the state for final purposes. As you mentioned, this is an informational item. What we've provided to you was has evolved, and it may still evolve as we go forward, but we're certainly seeking input. I will certainly not read everything that is before you. I will, if you allow, I'll read just the question, and then I'll just discuss briefly what it is that what is going on there. The question is, shall the Carson City Board of Supervisors enact an ordinance to impose for the period beginning on January 1st, 2017 and ending on December 31st, 2026, annual increases to the taxes on motor vehicle fuel and various special fuels used in motor vehicles in an amount not to exceed in each year a total of 3 cents for each gallon sold in Carson City, with the revenue generated from the increase to be used for the sole purpose of building, maintaining, and repairing roads and highways located only in Carson City. So, as the legislation provides, if approved by the voters for a 10-year period, there would be increases in the motor fuel tax that would be the revenues of which would be split between Carson City and the state of Nevada. Approximately two-thirds of those revenues would go to Carson City, and one-third approximately would go to the state of Nevada. As is indicated here, the purpose is solely for the building, maintaining, construction, repairing of roads and highways only in Carson City. The text that has been drafted and shared with you today specifically states that it would not exceed 3 cents for each gallon sold. That is proposed to be a policy decision which only the Board of Supervisors can make, but is allowed for in legislation. The legislation is quite complicated, but it provides for an increase that is estimated to be 3 cents. That can vary over the course of the period. And what is being suggested is that the city act to cap that at 3 cents. And indeed, the revenue forecasts that have been prepared for this by the Department of Motor Vehicles and the Department of Transportation were forecast based on an increase of 3 cents per year. And I know I mentioned previously, but it's the Board of Supervisors that has the authority
to act on the final language that will be submitted, but we thought it appropriate to bring it in front of this body as the entity that should this pass and you know, be approved, this body would have oversight for the expenditure of those funds, like other RTC funds that come to the city. And the last thing I'll mention is that this document also references the arguments for passage and against passage, which will be prepared and submitted by the committees, which were referenced previously under public discussion during the Campo meeting by the city clerk. With that, we're open to any comments or input regarding this.
Do we have any comments or questions from the commissioners? Mark.
Well, our lead-in speaker tonight kind of was flabbergasted to know that we have no committee in place to do pros and cons. Isn't that what's written on the ballots for people to read?
Well, yes, absolutely. But there, right now around the state, all these different counties are just starting the process of forming those committees. We've got a couple of months before the language is due.
What did she say April 14th for?
That was about the seeking applicants to be on that body.
Didn't she say she had zero response, I thought she said?
That is correct.
So how are they seeking, and how's the public process to gather this committee before this Friday, I guess? Huh?
Well,
whatever date that is.
Please.
For the record, Dan, you at the Carson City DA's office, just to provide some additional clarification and information relating to that process, you know, I've been working with Ms. Merriweather and had multiple discussions with her regarding that process to solicit and generate, public interest in getting appointments to these committees that are statutorily required under state law. Right now, we're not really under the gun, so to speak. I mean, she has been, you know, acting with due diligence and advertising, both in the Nevada Appeal and then on the website as well, that these positions are available. If anyone is interested from the public, you know, they can submit an application in a form to her office, after which time she would, you know, basically make recommendations at the next Board of Supervisors meeting, and then it would be up to the Board of Supervisors to take action on those recommendations to make the ultimate appointments. As she mentioned earlier today during public comment, she has unfortunately not been able to get any interest from the public whatsoever, which was, you know, frankly, a little bit surprising. However, this item is going to appear on the next Board of Supervisors meeting agenda. The Board of Supervisors will be able to take action with respect to whether to extend the time for Ms. Merriweather to conduct yet another additional search, or under the applicable provisions of NRS, if there is absolutely no interest from the public, meaning we cannot even appoint one member to each committee for the pros and for the cons, for the arguments, then what would happen would be the DA's office would get involved in preparing the arguments for and the arguments against. And that's what's not just permitted, but what's actually required under state law.
Let me follow up with that. A lot of the information that you might need would be agency held for the statistics and data to say pros and cons, supporting it with dollar figures. So I assume staff must be able to help. You know, I'd send a committee know that you can gather all the data you want from the staff in either pro or con. So I assume there's some flexibility with gathering staff time and stuff to support the pro and con.
You know, based on my understanding and review of the applicable provisions of NRS, I don't believe there are specific parameters with respect to what sort of information can be gathered by the DA's office in assisting in preparing this, the arguments for and against for the ballot question. I mean, certainly, you know, if we need to, you know, cross that bridge, meaning that we have not been able to generate any interest for appointment to these committees, then internally the DA's office would discuss, you know, what sort of information we need to gather to appropriately prepare that language that will ultimately appear on the ballot question.
So as I read this, we have a six-line question followed by three pages of explanation. To me, what that says is that it's either a very complicated question or the explanation is too long. And the reason I say that is because I just don't know that you're going to get the majority of voters that are going to read all the way through three pages of an explanation on this question. And so I'm just wondering if there's a way to condense down the information in the explanation to get it onto one page so that we have a better chance of getting people to actually read it.
Mr. Chairman, happy to answer that question for you as well. You know, our office spent quite a bit of time in preparing this language, and I would note for the record that, you know, with respect to, you know, these additional sections that did not initially appear in NACO's provided template, you know, so in addition to the question, the explanation, we also have in our language the digest and the description of anticipated financial effect. These are all sections that are actually required by state law. So if you look at the applicable provisions in Chapter 193 with respect to the preparation of countywide ballot information, there are certain criteria that have to be met. So for example, in addition to the condensation, which is the ballot question itself, which we try to make, you know, as succinct as possible, we're actually required under NRS provisions to provide, for example, you know, the digest, which speaks to what sort of laws would be affected by, you know, passage, you know, of this ballot question. So, you know, with respect to the digest, with respect to the financial impact, you know, I would say that that's not, you know, unnecessary or superfluous information that's actually statutorily required. And we did try to condense it, believe it or not, as much as possible. And you're absolutely right, Mr. Chairman. I mean, this is, I would say, you know, a fairly complicated question as far as ballot questions go, which is why the digest and the explanation is in the form and in the length that it is, despite our best efforts to condense it. Now, I'm not saying categorically that there's no way we can maybe condense it even a little bit more, and I'm happy to speak with, you know, our office of the district attorney and see if there is any way we can maybe shorten it. But frankly, you know, this draft and the form that you have before us today, you know, represents, I would say, a fairly exhaustive and best effort of the district attorney's office to make it as succinct and clarified as possible. And a lot of that is also because, in addition to the statutory requirements, you know, one of the things that we want to do is to avoid or at the very least mitigate any potential for lawsuits, any challenges to the sufficiency of the language, to the sufficiency of the digest, to the sufficiency of the explanation itself. So I guess what I'll do right now is just kind of wrap up. I'm going to quote my boss. I see that the district attorney is here in the audience. This is language that really only an attorney can love, and that's with respect to the explanation. I mean, I understand that there's a lot of information in there, but I do believe that the information that is in there is required and necessary to make it sufficient.
I understand. However, I would still say that if nobody reads it, what is the purpose? So if we can condense it, at least take a look at it, if you could, because the purpose is to have people read the question and understand the question. So if we can do that, fine. This is a very important issue to Carson City as well as to 14 other counties in the state, because it really cuts to the question of, are we going to be able to maintain our roads going forward? And so I want to make sure that we do everything possible to provide the information that the public needs to make an informed decision. And now I'll get off my soapbox. Do you have any additional questions from the commissioners?
Mark? I'm just going to echo that because we know a newspaper person is just here. They read the first few lines, and then they just kind of check out after that. So it's the really important outlining question is if they're willing to impose this tax on themselves for transportation support in this community with a limit. it seems to get buried in the document. So I'm just going to echo that from not being a board supervisor, but as a public that sits. And then I was concerned about the pros and cons, which is going to be a part of the ballots too. So that they're in some good plain English. So I understand the world of how attorneys get involved with what's by NRS, but hopefully we can somehow deliver this message to the general public about what we're really trying to do, which Mr. Valkowski has been very clear about how critically important that is to maintain the streets and the highways in the cities that we all live in. So just another echo is all.
All right, I can't remember now if I had asked for public comment on this item. So since I can't remember, I'll open it up again to public comment. If there's any member of the public that would like to speak on this item, please come forward now. And seeing none, this was an information-only item, so we will move on to item 5, internal communications and administrative matters. Who's going to take this? Item 5A.
Oh, yeah, I'll take it. Because we had we didn't have meetings the last 2 months. So you have before you three street operations activity reports for January, February, and March. And I'm certainly not going to go through all these numbers because obviously this time period covers everything from snow events to tree pruning and otherwise. And I'll just stick to one thing, which is that you can see that on the first page, you know, there are a lot of cracks in our roads out there relates to what we were just talking about. And as you can see, even, you know, in each of these 3 months on the first page and that first table, we were doing crack sealing operations in January, February, March, and it increased as the weather got better. So just to reassure folks that we are still out there working hard and improving those.
Thank you, Patrick. Were there any questions from the commissioners on any of the road reports? Okay, then let's move on to item 5D, project status report.
Okay. I'm going to take this one as well because, frankly, after we got this out, there are a couple more things we should tell you about as well. Starting from the beginning, East-West Water Transmission Main, very happy to report that the paving operations are well underway. I believe we're complete west of Carson Street. And we're working east of Carson Street right now, which I know is going to be appreciated by many folks who have gotten calls like, you know, a couple weeks ago of how could you leave it like that and how could you finish it like that? And the answer is we're not done, and they say okay. So now we're actually going to get done here in the near future. The Carson City Freeway multi-use path, we are moving towards 90% design on that, cleaning up things and finalizing design as we go. The wide crack repair project, I'm also happy to report that which was awarded last November, knowing that we couldn't do it with the weather, we said we'd get out there when the weather allowed. That actually started this week on Monday. We started up on Arrowhead Drive. This is a contract that's different than others than we've done previously. We're doing so on Arrowhead Drive. It's a good place that's well-deserving of improvements, but frankly, a little bit less out of the public eye.
Can you just give us a brief explanation of the difference between crack filling and wide crack repair?
Yes, the crack filling, which I referred to in the previous item, which is done by city staff using blocks of asphalt rubber that are melted down with a machine that we own and placed in the cracks. And while it does good things as far as sealing the cracks for water intrusion and the like. It's not a structural improvement, and is best used on narrower cracks, whereas this project that I'm referring to, the wide crack repair project, is a much more significant effort. We are basically, the contractor under our supervision is basically saw cutting at least a foot wide of the entire road for the entire width of the road. Removing that material entirely all the way down to the base for the entire thickness of the road, and then filling it back in with actual asphalt, so actual structural improvement, not just that material you put in. And it is definitely going to vary as we go forward. For example, on Arrowhead Drive, it turns out the asphalt was thicker than we thought, and took a little more to cut it and a little more asphalt to fill it. But we will be going to, after we go from Arrowhead, we're going to be going to other neighborhoods as well.
This is meant to be a citywide effort. I think we're going to the Silver Oak neighborhood next. And while it is citywide, it's certainly not big enough to fill all the wide cracks in the city. That's sufficient? Yep, okay. Moving on to Empire Area's ADA sidewalk improvements, that I just referenced previously in this agenda as being awarded this evening. The flashing yellow arrow intersection improvement project is out to bid. The bids open next week, Wednesday. That project is all ready to go. The only thing we're keeping our fingers crossed on is how the bids come in, and we'll see how we do because that's that is a grant-funded project, significant grant-funded project. But any overruns are on us. Airport road reconstruction, that one is, I think, is going to go out to bid in the next couple weeks. And after the appropriate bidding period, it'll be returned to this body for award. College Parkway Research Way intersection improvements, that one is also going to go out to bid. And just as a reminder, once we get the bids back from that, it's actually going to be the Maverick company that's going to be awarding that bid and constructing. There are a couple of things that should have been on here. We actually put out to bid a citywide patching contract, similar to the citywide wide crack repair project. We just opened bids yesterday, not in time for this meeting. Looks like, you know, we're doing our due diligence on the bids, but it looks like it's coming in very well. We hope to have that back to you next month for award. And we also next week will be opening bids for a project which will provide a seal coat on Curry Street from 10th down to Rhodes, and something called a cape seal on Lampa Lane from Carmine to College Parkway. Certainly when we go to award that, we'll explain more. But a cape seal is a more significant seal coat that's unlike anything we've done in recent history around here. So we haven't opened the bids on that yet, but we're keeping our fingers crossed on that one, too, and we'll be bringing them back to you for award. And finally, as Darren pointed out, that's for future agenda.
Patrick, the patching contract, is that also funded under the sales tax surplus funding that was transferred from the general fund to the RTC?
Partially, yes. A total of $370,000 was transferred from the general fund to streets. Approximately $250,000 of that will be used for the wide crack repair project. Approximately $20,000 is being used by city staff to address other system concerns, you know, potholes and the like. And approximately $100,000 will be left from that original $370,000 to be used for the patching contract, with the remainder of the patching contract to be paid out of regular streets funds.
Thank you. Yes. Go ahead, Mark.
Patrick, on that road repair and lump, just keep me informed or educate me a little bit, I guess. That road's really spider crack. Looks like it's totally ready to just unpeel and come off because it's such a terrible shape. So this new process you're using probably is a lot less expensive than tearing out the pavement and putting new pavement down. And is it like an experiment, or is it something you know is going to last for 10 years?
No, definitely not an experiment. And it wasn't. This is not a new thing. It's been around for a long time. It's called a cape seal. And first addressing the condition of the road, that we absolutely are fully aware through our pavement management system and otherwise that Lampa Lane is in bad condition and frankly should be reconstructed. However, we don't have the available funds to reconstruct that road along with some other projects that we're doing. And we're pursuing what's called a cape seal because we think that will extend the life of the road. The basic thing that we're doing is it's a two-level of sealing. There's actually a first layer that goes down with some rock material, and then we come back a week later and put a second micro-paving over the top of that. So there are actually two different things, a chip seal that you could do by yourself or a micro-seal by itself. This is actually a combination of the two, a chip seal with a micro on top. We're going to try to do them on Saturdays to avoid impact to the residents and other travelers. And I will note that
before you see that, you will see that we're awarding a project less than $50,000. Does need to come before this board for approximately $40,000 to do ADA sidewalk improvements there. Per federal regulations, if you do something, even though a cape seal is not a full reconstruction, it is significant enough to trigger the federal requirement to make the ADA improvements. So what the first thing you'll see out there is some corner ramps being rebuilt, and then the cape seal come in afterwards, which is the right way to do it, because otherwise our corner improvements would be cutting out what we just put down.
The next was, like, updates on the downtown project, how it's going, any surprises, are they on schedule? All those things that the public might like to hear about that
project.
Oh,
absolutely.
Yeah.
I'll do the best I can, which won't take very long, because the project manager is truly Danny Rotter, engineering manager, and our construction manager is overseeing it directly. But I can tell you that it's going very well so far. I mean, I know that our public response has been quite positive, and that they actually can see the work going on out there, and truly our contractors have been moving quickly, and I think that's surprised some folks how quickly they've been moving. It doesn't surprise us because we know we have a relatively short time frame to get this completed before Nevada Day. But there's been a lot of good feedback as we gave away some pushes. The medians are gone. A lot of underground utility work is going on right now, and we have had we've had limited traffic related concerns as far as people using different roads. We've had a person called me and said, hey, I drove on the freeway and there was traffic out there, and it's probably all there because of this. And the truth of the matter was that they just had never taken the freeway before. So a few people have changed their travel habits, but it's generally going very well, and nothing out of the ordinary, frankly.
I just want to follow up on that. I've been meeting with different downtown business owners to talk to them about the impacts of the construction, and I keep hearing the same thing over and over, and that is that the businesses are being supported by their customers, that customers are making a concerted effort to continue to go down and patronize their favorite businesses. So that's really good to hear that people are really going out of their way to get through the traffic and park and walk into these businesses. So I want to commend the public for that and encourage them to continue that through the end of the project. Are there any additional questions from the commissioners? Then we're going to move on to item 6, board comments. Staff reports and comments from the members of the RTC board. Do we have any commissioners that have reports they want to give? Mark.
I want to make a comment from what I've seen in the past and what's currently going on. When there's seems to be a period of time when people are campaigning for office, there's a situation that occurs where they'll take a department and with their displeasure for anything that they haven't felt pleased in the past with roads not being repaired or potholes here or spending money in some other place, and there's a lot of kind of campaign that goes out with that's really not what I consider educated, that they didn't take the time in and come in and be on the agenda and stand here and ask those questions, because this I work with this group constantly for years in the transportation. I've seen Patrick at the STAC meetings fighting for every penny he can from the state of Nevada and federal government. Almost everything we heard from staff tonight was about how they get federal funds and they have to go out and get those funds, and it's transparent. It's very responsive to the needs of the community. So I just hate seeing people being taken on in the press for things they feel aren't being done right versus coming in and finding out the right answer. So I'm here to support staff, this process, Darren, and everything I've seen and worked with this. They've done everything they possibly can to maximize the benefits to this community through grants and taking care of people who have concerns. Very responsive to phone calls. Somebody calls and says, we need this. You guys always respond and at least give them the courtesy of the time that it will give them an answer that hopefully they respect, but not always. So that just needs to be said in support of the staff from what I've seen, things that shouldn't be said about people or their position when this is about the most transparent community probably find in how they run their committees and the responses, and there's nothing that isn't being done that we don't see on paper and have a chance to talk about, or people that come in the audience and do the same thing. So I'm taking that opportunity tonight to say that you guys do a great job.
Well said. Jim? Jack? Steph?
Thank you for your kind comments.
All right, we're back to the final public comment, item 7, and we no longer have any public. So we will have no public comment. I will move to item 8. Do we have a motion to adjourn?
So moved.
We are adjourned. Thank you.
Rocks. Yeah. So we're